The last part of our program this Monday, Mental Floss magazine has its 10 issue. It's a year's worth of incredible lists. These are always great fun because of the list that they put together. 10 of history's most power-hungry cats, 10 hotel secrets from behind the front desk, 10 useless body parts. I want to start with that because you wonder why in the world we're still born with wisdom teeth. I mean, who needs wisdom teeth? Why do we still have them? 10 contestants for Earth's Next Superpower, breathtaking images of Africa, historical titans with surprising tattoos, magical facts about unicorns, insane things we'll never do again, and there are more such lists. And Ethan Trex, senior editor of Mental Floss magazine, is with us. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We'll get to a couple of the lists. I would imagine once we start on body parts, you may have some calls on this. Ethan, thank you very much for being with us. Hello.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kathleen. Good morning.
Good morning, Ethan. Let's start with body parts because, you know, I wonder why we are still being born with things like wisdom teeth. We really don't need them. It seems like it takes a whole long time, if ever, to get rid of some of those useless body parts.
Yeah, we take forever to evolve. It's crazy. But wisdom teeth now, you know, they're not really very useful, and only 5% of people actually have room to accommodate them in their mouths. So that's why you have to get the painful surgery that's such a drag to recover from. But they used to be really, really useful because back before we had toothpaste and mouthwash and all that good oral hygiene stuff, dentists, a lot of people would have teeth fall out, so they were sort of your backup molars.
So when are we going to be born without them, sir?
I have no idea. If you've got a good guess, I'll listen to it.
I guess I really don't. But it is hard to have those taken out. There's no doubt about that. It's hard. Male nipples. That's it. This is interesting. Why do males have nipples?
Well, apparently, according to our researcher, fetuses start out at the very fundamental stage as females until the Y chromosome kicks in. So the nipples sort of stick around as a byproduct, even though they're not particularly useful. But it's a good conversation starter because why do we have them? Most people don't know.
And also on the list is women having their own answer to male nipples.
Yes, women have a vas deferens, a sperm duct, and it's right next to their ovaries. But as a female fetus develops in the womb, these obviously sperm ducts aren't very useful, so they shrivel up, but they're still there.
Huh. Now, you write about this, and I must have spent at least 15 minutes trying to find this thing you write about, our third eyelid. Where the heck is that?
It's a tiny little fold on the corner of your eye. It's called a nictitating membrane. It's reptiles, birds, fish. I think some amphibians still have them, but it slides in a previous generation, it would slide over the eye to give a little bit of extra protection while also helping you maintain visibility.
It's closer to your nose?
Tiny little thing.
It's near the nose? It's near the nose or the other side of the eye?
I think the other side of the eye.
Huh. Do we all have them?
Or no. It's on the inside corner. It's by your nose. You know, I'm not sure if everyone has them.
Huh. All right, well, I'll look again. I have been unable to find it so far.
Good excuse to break out the mirror.
I guess so. Here's Anne, who has something that really is on the list, and it's good to talk about this. Anne from Madison. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I'm calling about the appendix because I actually heard recently, and I don't know if this is proven or anything, but that the appendix has a use as a reservoir for useful gut colon bacteria, and that's where the colon gets its population of bacteria from.
You are right on the money.
Yeah, that's exactly what our research found, was that for years, you know, you would hear that the appendix is useless and it's just sitting there and it can't really do anything but get inflamed and cause you problems, so you got to get it taken out. But actually, some newer research shows that it might be exactly what Anne said, that it's a reservoir to hold beneficial bacteria, and that it's really helpful.
And then the other thing is the male nipple. I've actually been told by a doula that there are cultures in which men actually develop the ability to lactate after
Really?
You know, with a great deal of stimulation. Yeah, that there's a culture, and I don't remember where or what they're called, but the older men sort of stay home with the babies while everybody goes out and works and can lactate.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that should get some more research, I think.
Yeah. Well, let us know. I don't know anything about that at all.
But it would be from a doula.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, maybe it'll make its way into Mental Floss magazine. What do you say, Ethan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we could verify that, that's a crazy story. I love it.
Yeah. Thanks, Ann, for the call. Our number is 800-486-8655. Mental Floss has a list of tens, and they're in slightly unusual categories, as Mental Floss tends to do. We're on body parts. We could probably spend the next 15 minutes. We won't completely, but if there are body parts that you wonder why we still have or if they should be on this list, feel free to give us a call, 800-486-8655. There are other lists we want to get to, though. I didn't know that. I couldn't remember until I read this which toes we need, but we don't need the pinky toe, do we?
No, it's so cute, but really it's just along for the ride. You can get by and be totally, totally great function-wise and walking around with just your big toe and the three next to it.
Huh. Well, and I haven't looked at a lot of people's feet, but it seems to me as though, at least when I look at my pinky toe, it's really so tucked under that it almost gets in the way. Is yours like that?
Mine is exactly like that. I don't think it's much use. Before we'd researched this story, I'd never had any scientific verification that it wasn't very helpful, but I'd always had that hunch.
So will there come a point when we'll just be born without them?
You know, I don't know, because I guess it's not hurting anything being there, right? But you don't really... I guess it's hard for us to evolve now because there's no huge survival advantage in having or not having a pinky toe, so maybe they will eventually go away.
Yeah. The other obvious one, of course, is tonsils.
Right, because everybody knows this, because when you're a kid, you're always getting sick with stuff in your throat. You got to have them taken out, and it's really just a good excuse to miss school and then to eat ice cream. But they're actually helpful. They filter out bacteria and viruses, but they're also, sadly, very prone to infection, which is why so many people, especially when they're young, have to get them removed. But as you age, they shrink and generally stop causing you trouble, which is why you don't hear of many adults having their tonsils removed.
Well, that's weird. They shrink. Why do they shrink?
I don't know. I guess they just become less useful. You know, when you're a kid, you're always getting sick, so maybe you need a little extra line of defense when you're young.
Interesting. Well, I guess we shrink as we get older, so why not have
exactly.
Our tonsils shrink, huh? Susie in New Berlin, hi.
Hi. I was just calling to follow up on the wisdom tooth thing. I've been a hygienist for 30-some-odd years.
All right.
And I've cleaned a lot of them, and... recommended that a lot of them be removed, and different doctors have different theories about whether or not they should be removed under all circumstances or only some circumstances, but we are evolutionarily losing them. They're not all still around. A lot of people never develop them at all.
Really?
Or they'll just develop a couple. And yet there are a few people still around who develop six of them instead of four of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, yeah. Really?
So it kind of runs the gamut, but... You know, every single tooth of the mouth has certain, these are silly little fun facts, but every single tooth of the mouth has certain characteristics that a dentist or hygienist should be able to pick a tooth out of a barrel and be able to tell you where it would go in a mouth. And the rule of thumb with wisdom teeth is that they break every rule. So they're just evolutionarily being... omitted.
So are you seeing more young children without wisdom teeth?
Children don't develop. Your teeth develop as you age.
Oh, that's right.
So
you don't get them until later.
They don't generally show up until later. But I am seeing a lot more 14 and 15-year-olds with their wisdom teeth developed enough and close enough to erupting to have them removed.
Huh.
And orthodontists are getting more and more involved in the, not that they do the removal, but they are getting more and more involved, evidently, in deciding whether or not the wisdom teeth should be removed because they show up so close to when kids are getting braces,
yes,
which is usually like 12, 13, 14, and that, and usually, you know, wisdom teeth we always think of as about 18, 17, 18, 19, 20, where they show up. And they're showing up on the x-rays ready to make a decision much earlier.
Oh, interesting. So, why are they called wisdom teeth? Do you know?
You know, I don't. The only idea I have is that, you know, historically, by the time you're 18, you're supposed to be an adult. You're supposed to know what you're doing. I mean, historically.
Okay, yeah.
Way back, you know.
Right,
I mean,
right.
In the days when we only lived to be 40 or 45, by the time you're 18, you've got a family. You've already taken over the farm or are working it or, you know, taken over your father's trade or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's it. But the molars erupt basically on a schedule of 6 years old, 12 years old, 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
Hmm. All right. Thank you, Susie.
So, this is
thanks.
Fun fact. And I thought the baby toe was supposed to be to balance you.
Evidently not. That's what you're saying, right, Ethan?
Yeah, we had read that it was evolutionarily, it was originally for grasping things back when we still needed to pick things up with our feet, but that it doesn't have the same use for balance as the other toes do.
Oh, cool.
Susie, you want to stay with us for a moment? How do I do this? Can I press both buttons at once? Yes, I can. All right, Susie, stay with us because we have Flora on another line, and she may have a question that Susie can answer. Flora in the Wisconsin Dells. Hey, Flora.
Hey there. I have a question.
All right.
I have a bony structure at the roof of my mouth towards the back that is conclave downwards,
mm-hmm.
like a lump,
mm-hmm.
and it bones, and every time I go to a new dentist, they look at it, and they go, oh, you're in the, like, 2% percentile, but I don't know what it's actually called.
Yeah, I've got one of those too, and they keep telling me don't ever get dentures because you'd have to have it taken out. So take care of your teeth. Yeah. So what is that thing?
It's called a torus, or they are tori, and they also happen along the ridge of the bottom teeth, like the inside of the jawbone. And the ones on the tops, yeah. Well, any of them are a problem for if you're going to need dentures, but
right.
It's some people just get them, and I don't know why. I don't know what they have to do with anything. It's just a bony growth.
Huh. All right.
So,
thank you.
Yep.
Thanks,
there you
Susie.
Go. Sure.
Thanks for your expertise. Right. We'll move on to some other lists in a moment because there are many of them in the mental floss issue. Well, I've been accused of doing too many dog shows. I know. So we'll definitely do one of the cat lists here, okay? I know it's not quite equal time, but we'll talk about cats and whatever other lists because there are so many of them. Ethan wants to talk about it. Ethan Trex is our guest this part of the show, senior editor for Mental Floss Magazine. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. And email, oh, yeah, use that if you want, is talk@WPR.org. I've also wanted to mention our Facebook page because you can leave messages on whatever we're talking about, and that is the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about mental floss, the current issue, their 10-issue, a year's worth of incredible lists. We just talked about the body parts. I told Rhonda that we would talk about cats, and there are many other lists as well. But this was an interesting idea to put together these incredible cats. It's hard to imagine that cats have had such an influence on government, isn't it, Ethan?
It's amazing, and the cats have run for and won office is incredible because most cats I know just want to lay around and be cats.
Who ran for office?
Well, there's a cat named Stubbs in a tiny little town called Talkeetna, Alaska. It's right at the base of Mount McKinley. And in 1997, apparently, nobody in the town was super pleased with their candidates for mayor. So instead of voting for none of the above, everyone put in a write-in ballot for Stubbs the cat. And now for 16 years, Stubbs has been the mayor of Talkeetna, Alaska. And it's been great PR for the town because the cat Stubbs, it lives in the local general store and just sort of lounges around and does its cat thing. But tourists love to come by and see it because how often do you meet a cat who's really a mayor?
Yeah, well, that's a good story. There's also a cat who started an international incident. sometimes it doesn't take much. This took a cat.
Right. Well, in 1962, John Kenneth Galbraith, the diplomat and economist, was serving as U.S. ambassador to India, and someone gave his two young boys a pair of Siamese cats, and the boys named one of them Ahmedabad after the city where the cat was born. And nobody really thought anything of it, and as often happens with a pet's name, it got shortened around the family to Ahmed. But what they didn't realize was that that's one of the many names of the Prophet Muhammad, and this eventually, the name of the cat eventually appeared in an international edition of Time. It had made people in Pakistan super upset, who they were already a little bit angry with us that we were aiding Indian armed forces at the time, but people attacked the consulate, and a jeep full of Americans was overturned, and clergymen were decrying American insensitivity. So eventually, the Galbraith family apologized very sincerely. They didn't realize that what they'd done was so offensive. But he would later joke that amateurs will never understand how much can turn on the name of a kitten.
Ooh. And there's another political story here. There's also a cat that saved the Prophet.
Right, right, right. So in Islam, cats are thought of very highly because a cat supposedly saved Muhammad from a deadly snake. So after that, after this incident, Muhammad was petting the cat as thanks, and the cat gained the ability to always land on their feet when they're dropped, which everyone knows about cats. And they're still revered in the religion, and around mosques, cats are still open or still welcome because who doesn't like a cat around?
Huh. Tell me a little before we go back to phone calls about these lists. Some of these are kind of quirky lists that you've put together. What do you all sit around a table and come up with the most unusual thing you can imagine?
Oh, for months, that's what we do. Because really, right. you see so many lists everywhere on the internet and in magazines, so we try to come up with things like 10 power-hungry cats that you're not going to see everywhere, and that will be quirky and will be really fun. So this is one of our – we do this issue every year, usually during the summer, and people seem to like it. We love putting it together. It's so much fun, and you can really learn a lot because the list really lets you pack the information in there densely, but
right.
it's still fun and really easy to read, so
yeah.
we love it.
What lists captivate you the most?
Oh, I loved the cat one this year. We had a great excerpt from a new book called Heads in Beds by a guy named Jacob Tomsky, who worked at front desks at hotels in New Orleans and New York. And it's just a great piece about what goes on behind the scenes in hotels that was really fun.
Yeah, how you can get a deal. It gives you some information, doesn't it, on how what happens if you just stay for one night, whether or not you want to book on a discount site? Maybe not, huh?
Right, right, right. I was really surprised because I don't know about you, but I'm cheap. So whenever I travel, I just look for the least expensive hotel room I can get online.
Sure.
But apparently that's not a good way to go about things if you want to get good service, because the hotel knows that. They know that you're not likely to come back. You're not going to be a loyal customer because you're just picking things based on price. So if they overbook for the night and somebody has to get the heave-ho, it's going to be you. So I'll be a little more hesitant to do that from now on.
There's always a way to get an upgrade, too.
Yeah,
I thought that was good advice.
Yeah, I thought this was really funny that the guy has worked, Jacob Tomsky, the author, has worked at all these fancy hotels, but he said that there's always something that you can get upgraded on. You can get a free mini bar. You can get a better room, a bigger room, one with a better view. And the best way to do it is exactly what you think, just to slip the guy at reception a 20, and he'll take care of you.
Marilee in Madison is our next caller. Hi, Marilee.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I've got a question. Is my radio turned down enough?
Yes. Go ahead, Marilee.
Okay. I have a question about the baby toad thing. I'm just wondering what the research has been done on that, and I'm wondering if it could be a phenomenon of Western civilization that wears constricting footwear. So we all wear shoes that kind of bind that small toe, and it reminds me of when the Chinese were binding women's feet, I don't know, 100 years ago, that made the feet tiny and bound up. And I'm just wondering if that has something to do with it and if it could be reversed by doing foot exercises and feeding up. Because I think when you look at babies, their little toes and their all of their toes are wiggling and spreading out and doing all kinds of things. So I'm just wondering what research has been done.
Well, we'll have to leave that question in the air and do our own research because we're out of time, but we'll all be looking at babies' feet now to see if that's true about babies' feet. I don't know. Ethan, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on, Kevin.
Thanks. It was fun. Ethan Trex, senior editor of Mental Floss magazine. It's their 10 list this month's issue. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour. Thanks to Rhonda as well for on-air production in our studios here in downtown Milwaukee. And of course, special thanks to Maya Angelou, who makes all of us feel better, doesn't she? Just finished talking to her and things are okay. We'll be with you tomorrow at 9. Great conversations ahead on the Ideas Network.